Sports Beat Extra.
Beat 102 103.
Fresh off being named as part of the PFAI's Men's First Division Team of the Year and having been nominated for the Men's First Division Player of the Year, Wexford FC's Mikey Rowe put pen to paper on a brand new long-term contract with the Slaneysiders. I caught up with the Wexford native earlier this week.
Mikey Rowe, thanks a million for joining me. After an unbelievable season, I mean, when you were going into, obviously, I suppose, this Wexford year, and I suppose we'll get into all the background of where you started and how you've gotten to this point, but when you were going into this season under Stephen, obviously a new management team, new sort of setup, new players, you know, did you ever expect that it was going to end up the way it did for yourself, I suppose, personally?
Well, Oren, if there's one thing I've learned in football is that it's not going to go how you think it's going to go, whether that's for good or bad reasons. So, look, obviously, my first year at Wexford, 2024, I had a good season, hit double figures, which was the aim. And then that was the aim again this past season on a personal level in terms of goal return. And I had it before the mid-season break, which was unbelievable on my end in terms of it being a huge bonus. So, look, I just rolled with it, and Stephen provided so much confidence in me. And the rest of the lads, you know, were great throughout as well. So, no, I didn't think it was going to go as well as it did on a personal level. And I also didn't think it was probably us as a group. I didn't think we were going to miss out in the playoffs. I really thought we had the squad and had the ability to do a little better than we did. But, you know, some seasons just play out like that.
Yeah, I kind of, when I look at this season, when I was doing research, it kind of very much reminds me of you, obviously, after being at Waterford United, went out to the US for a bit of time and you were playing over in college there with the Mountain Lions. You know, your season over there, I think, was it 22 goals, 5 assists and 19 appearances? Like, that is averaging, obviously, over a goal a game, but you kind of feel like, for you personally, when you look back at that, when you were still kind of getting the ropes of football as a sport and kind of finding your place in that world, do you look at it now as that evolution that you've gone that level higher because you're bringing those sort of numbers over to here?
Yeah, I think, and even looking at that, I've definitely always been a bit of a late developer as a footballer. You know, I didn't go to League of Ireland until I was 18. Never really was making county teams or Wexford teams at a young age. Never made emerging talent programs or anything like that. But I think that always kind of gave me a little chip on my shoulder to prove people wrong, I suppose, or prove myself right that I was good enough even more so. So, I think, yeah, I'm only really hitting my peak now, and I think the next few years I'm hoping are my best. So when you speak about that college season, you know, not that I struggled for the first 3 years, but I was hitting nowhere near those numbers where a lot of players were going in at their first year in college and doing really well. Whereas, like I said, I was a late developer, so I wasn't really coming into my best until the end of college and then hit those numbers like you said. And now I think coming back from the US, I've really got my feet under the table in the League of Ireland, and I'm starting to hit numbers and levels which I knew I could. And now I think the biggest challenge is going to be backing that up next year. You know, it's nearly expected now from myself. You know, I expect those levels. So that's going to be the challenge, just to stay level-headed, because it's, you know, you might never hit a 20-goal season again in your life. So it's just about striving for that, but also seeing the bigger picture of, you know, the results are more important than that, and not get too hung up on it, I suppose, is going to be the challenge.
You mentioned, obviously, you kind of describe yourself as a late developer into football, but, like, you know, there must have been signs people saw, you know, greatness in you at a certain point, because you were playing at Waterford United back in 2014, 2015, very early on in your career.
Yeah, so I suppose when I was probably 16, 17, I had a couple of offers to go play League of Ireland, but I actually opted to stay at my home club, Camboyle United, and which probably not a lot of players would have done. But my dad was big on playing games of football and developing at that age. Like he was making me, I suppose, not making me, but advising me not to get too hung up on the level and just play games of football. And I ended up playing with the first team, the men here in Camboyle for a couple of years when I was 16, 17, and that helped me massively, you know, just learning off players that have been there, been around the block, you know, older players, and learning how to get kicked around on the pitch as well helped me a lot, and I grew up a lot. So then when I went into the under-19 setup in Waterford, you know, I was ready for first team football straight away, which, you know, I didn't take 2 or 3 years in the academy to get to that level. So I actually made my first team debut at Waterford before my under-19s debut, just the way it worked out. And I know there's a lot of Waterford fans will remember that time where it's not unlike what the club is now. You know, it was a real tough period, but, you know, it really benefited me in terms of getting in and playing 20, 25 League of Ireland games when I was 18. Set a really good platform for me to go on and have a professional career. Like, you look at the Waterford team around that time, you had Vinnie Sullivan and John Frost were the two real leaders. They were coming to the end of their career, but in a year and a half, I learned so much off them, and they were real role models in terms of how to be a professional and how to act as a professional footballer. So that's something, you know, more than 10 years on, I still take a lot of traits that I've seen, and I like to hope that I come across to the young players now like they came across to me. And so it's just picking up little bits and pieces as you go on, and learning off influential people, I suppose, is really important as well.
Would that have been a rare occurrence? Because you hear a lot about it in England, about players that are maybe in academies or maybe Premier League clubs or even Championship clubs, and then they'll end up, you know, not deciding to renew a contract and go play in non-league. Like, for you, did you find that you were an oddity for a lot of young Irish lads that would have been champing at the bit just to get a League of Ireland contract?
Yeah, I think it was just more the timing of it and the fact I had good people around me. Like, obviously, my parents are a big influence. I think had I been let go of League of Ireland at a younger age, it would have been a really poor move, because I would have been younger and wouldn't have been playing as much football, and I think my development would have been stunted. So I think you can get caught up in the bright lights of saying you're a League of Ireland player, because realistically at that point I thought maybe this is my only chance, I might never get to say that again. So I personally wanted to go just because, so I could say I was a League of Ireland player. But I was really lucky to have good people around me. You know, I see you know, kids coming up nowadays and it's all about making right decisions. So having that support from obviously my parents and my family, and I was really lucky as a kid to have such good advice, and that's why I'm here today. You know, it really is a team effort, obviously. And as I said, I was just lucky to have the support and advice that was always bang on.
You look at obviously Camp Isle to Waterford and then over to the States, the Mountain Lions, is not exactly the trajectory you'd imagine. But for you, was that more of a case of, you know, not wanting to leave life behind as well as pursuing football?
No, I wouldn't really say so, to be honest. It was actually, I would put a different angle on it. I didn't want to go to the States. I was probably caught between that 19s and first team at Waterford, where, you know, I wasn't playing every week for the first team. I wasn't starting games, so it was back to that development thing. It's like, am I really developing here sitting on the bench? It's like, I'd play maybe every second or third week, but I was, you know, 19 years of age. I was just after coming out of the under-19 side, so I didn't have those games. And the opportunity to the States came along where I knew I'd go and play, you know, 20, 25 games a season at a really good level, what it turned out to be. So I think it wasn't really the life factor at all. It was more, I need to do this for my career. I was a bit of a home bird, so I really didn't want to go. But it turned out to be the best decision I ever made, and definitely why I'm still playing at this age, or not that it's old, but still playing 10 years on, I suppose, is because I took that leap and went to America. Because, you know, there's so much more about the American system now in terms of, you know, social media, and you can see a lot more on it. But I was kind of going in blind, to be honest. I didn't really know. And then it was a major shock to the system when I got over there, because there was players from academies all over England. You know, I didn't realize it was such a popular route for those sort of players that come out of academies and they don't have any education, so they go to the American education system. But it means the level of football is really high over there, so that was great education for me. You know, it took me a while to get my feet under the table in terms of the level, in terms of the athleticism and how different the game is than Ireland. But once I did, you know, I loved it over there and really thrived as a footballer, because it gave me the environment to although you're doing your education, you're still a full-time footballer in terms of training every single day. You're in the gym most days, and it's a really professional setup. So that's all I wanted.
Was it a big culture shock?
It was. It was. I was the only Irish fella on the campus. I was the only Irish fella on the team. I really loved that international element to it. We actually didn't have an American on the team when I first went over. So my first year. So it was literally players from all over the world. And yeah, I was hoping I'd go to a college with an Irish player or two there, but it turned out to be the best thing that happened to me, that there was no Irish player there. I had to open my eyes to the world and how different cultures act, how different players play football differently, and looking at all those things, it was really part of the experience. So yes, it was a culture shock, but a good culture shock, I would say. Mm-hmm.
You go to Tormenta FC afterwards. Like, what sort of a leap is that like, I suppose, from the college system?
It was a big leap. I think probably a bigger leap than I expected. You know, I was 22 when that was my first full-time professional contract. And I think you're a little naive. You know, I was coming out of college and I had scored so many goals in my final year. And different awards to go along with it. So I probably thought, right, I've earned the right here to go in and do really well, but that's not the case. You know, in professional football, you have to earn the right every day, literally. So I only really learned that as my career went on. I do think I was a little naive in terms of, it was nearly, you've worked so hard to get your professional contract, but the work only really starts when you get it. You know, I think I understood that to a degree, but not enough. But I really enjoyed my time there. You know, I just, to be honest, when I went in there, I just couldn't believe someone was paying me to play football. I genuinely couldn't believe it. I would do it anyway, and I would do it for free. But when I checked my bank account on a Friday and they had paid me to train all week, I just couldn't believe it. So that was unbelievable. And, you know, it's something I don't take for granted as my career goes on. You know, I get to do something I love for a living, which is unbelievable. And so that was unbelievable. You know, because I was actually, during the college seasons, I would go down to Tormenta in the summers. So I had been down there for the previous two summers and played with the under 23 side. So luckily for me, a lot of those under 23s that I had played with were getting professional deals and moving on to first team. So I was literally living with my best mates and training every morning. So, and then in the US, you travel pretty much every weekend to play games because the games are so far away. It's all flights. So you're living a dream. It was unbelievable. And then I had really good relationships with the ownership group and coaches and everybody else involved. So it was a real home away from home for me, I suppose.
Interestingly, I kind of want to get your take on this because, you know, you went over to the US when it was probably at a pretty tumultuous point because Donald Trump had just been elected as president, you know, and I'm not trying to obviously bring politics into this whole conversation, but if you were a player now going, like, looking at sort of that development path that you went on, would you recommend players to go to the States as well again?
I would, and I stayed involved a little bit on the recruitment side here, so I do help players get over, and it's pretty easy for me because you're not selling anything, you know, you're just giving genuine experiences, and 99% of the players I send over absolutely love it. So it is something I recommend. My own brother's actually over there now, and he's loved his experience. So it's just, for me, there is no gap between 20s and first team football in Ireland for a lot of footballers, you know, and it's something that, obviously, the third division, the talks of it coming in would help, but you've got some really good players that finish 20s, don't get a first team deal, and then they just go back, play at their local club, and that's it. Like, the American route is almost a backdoor into professional football because they don't sign professional deals over there until they're 22, 23, until they finish their 4 years in college. So whether you're looking at it from that point of view, and then you start your professional career with a degree in your back pocket as well, so it gives you that security. So I think it covers both angles. And then just players that, I suppose, there's so many levels over there now. There's players that will never get to play League of Ireland, but they can go and feel like a professional footballer for 4 years in America as well. So there's lots of different little bits and pieces in it. It's just, America allows allows this to happen, because sport is an industry over there. You know, all the college coaches are full time, the strength conditioning coaches are full time, the assistants are full time. Whereas in Ireland, we probably haven't got to that level in terms of sport really being an industry for people to make a living out of in a lot of different circles, whether that's being a player or a coach or, you know, specific roles like strength conditioning coach, nutritionist, stuff like that. So, yeah, America is, I think it's a little bit ahead of the game in that regard.
It's interesting you bring up that point, because obviously one of your colleagues, Ryan Butler, was featured in the under 17 World Cup, but he's also a senior player for Wexford. Like, and I think I read somewhere that on average, I think the most amount of senior minutes for footballers throughout the entire under 17s World Cup was Ireland. Like like that kind of gap you talk about, that's why that's the case, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. And I do think the fact the kids can't go to England under 18 now is brilliant for Irish football. You know, I think if some of the young players we played against this year, or even you mentioned Ryan, but some of the other young players we have, they're so good. You know, it's great that the kids, like, they get their big move when they're 16. This used to be the case, and then they're going playing underage football in England for a few years, but the fact they can come in at 16, 17, 18 and play games here, and people can really see how talented our young players are, can only benefit Irish football. And I think you see certain players going for bigger fees now. I think we're finally being taken serious as a football nation in terms of English teams paying proper fees for players, which that money will only filter down and make the game more professional here. So I think it's great for Irish football, and that stat about the under-17s World Cup is brilliant. I didn't know that, obviously, but yeah, I think that's good. I think it's all about senior football. You know, I think you can play as many under-18 games or as many under-23 games as you want, but senior football, when there's contracts on the line and lads playing for a living, it's a different kettle of fish.
I want to go back. Obviously, you mentioned you loved your time in the US. You then signed for Galway in 2020. You mentioned that, I think when you were signed, that it was a big opportunity. You wanted to come back and make a name for yourself in Ireland. You know, you enjoy your time so much out in America. Why do you then want to move back to obviously a system that probably wouldn't be paying as much as, say, the US?
Yeah, well, it was actually COVID was the reason I came back. So my contract was up at Tormenta. I was looking at other clubs in the US to move to, but I couldn't get a visa. It was literally like the embassies were closed. There was huge delays on getting contracts. So it was easier for American clubs to just bring in American players. You know, there is only seven. You're only allowed seven foreign players in the USL, the league I was playing in anyway. But it was a lot more difficult during COVID. So halfway through my last season at Tormenta, I was actually contacted by Galway to make the move home, and it was something I accepted. So I was coming home in the summer. We played Greenville away on a Wednesday night with Tormenta, and then I was going to fly home on the Thursday morning. And so we were away in Greenville, so I actually had to pack my suitcase onto the bus. So everything was on the bus. I was going to get dropped off and go to the airport from there. And then after the game, I had a text from my agent saying that the deadline had passed in Ireland and the documents hadn't gone through in time. So that was, I think it was more telling my mom that I actually wasn't coming home, because I had told her that day that I was coming home, and she was buzzing, the family was buzzing, I suppose, when you had been away for so long. So that was, yeah, so that fell through, and then it was actually the end of the year. Then I finished out the season with Tormenta, and John Caulfield was in touch again. So that it just felt right at time then.
That must have been, like, I know you're laughing about it now, but that must have been really difficult, like, considering you probably said your goodbyes when you were there and you're on the bus, and then all of a sudden you find out, actually, I'm not going home, and you're probably building up in your head that you're going to go back and see your family. Like, what was that like at the moment?
Yeah, it was an interesting moment, I suppose. It was tough, but I loved it so much out there. I just said, right, I'm going to really enjoy my last 6 months. So it wasn't something that I was overly down about. I had said my goodbyes to everyone in the club and let everyone know that's what I was going to do. And then it's mad how it just, you get on the bus and then a text can just change everything really in that moment. So yeah, it was just, there's nothing you can do. you're there for the rest of the season. And as I said, it wasn't too tough because I love my time at Tormenta and I love the people there. And yeah, it was just back to work as normal the next morning and go training again.
Do you think you would have stayed there if you could have gotten the visa?
I think at the time, yeah, I probably would have stayed. I think I definitely did have a bit of an itch to come home and play. But I probably didn't do as well at Tormenta in terms of consistency. And so I did kind of want another crack at the league with another side and just to see how I got on. And it's actually full circle where I've had a couple of offers to go back this season before I signed the deal with Wexford. So I kind of did have a little bit of a feeling that I wanted to go back and have another crack at it. But it's all about timing, and obviously it has to be right for you. So that's probably why I haven't been back. It's come close a couple of times, but not quite there.
Have you visited the US since?
Yeah, so I went back over a couple of times actually. So I mentioned how close I am to the owners at Tormenta, and so I actually go over and stay with them in Hilton Head in South Carolina. It's with Jeff and Elena, and obviously Darren and Nitra then are the other owners who I go visit and stuff. So it's great. It's nice to have people over there that you can go stay with. And it's usually around this time of year where I like to go away on holiday when the season's finished and then stop in South Carolina on the way back for maybe a week or 10 days. So yeah, I've been back and been to a couple of different spots in America. So I do love the country, to be honest. It's a great place.
We talked about a little bit of that sort of culture shock going over to the US from Ireland. When you're there for 5.5 years and you come back, is it equally as much of a culture shock, especially when you're not moving back to Wexford, but you're going to Galway?
Yeah, it's funny that you touch on that. I actually really struggled when I came back. You know, I think on and off the pitch, in a way, Irish football is so different to football over there. And I was probably thrown in at the deep end a little bit in terms of I just came into Galway and was playing games straight away, and I struggled. You know, I thought I would come back in and hit the ground running, but you know, the different style of play, the different elements I play. You know, I was in Georgia for 5 years, where every single day you're training in the sun, and then I went and done pre-season in Galway, and you're being slapped in the face with hailstones on a January morning, and I was just like, honestly, I was like, what have I done? But I think over the course of the year, and to be fair to John Caulfield, he was really good with me, especially my first year. You know, there was one weekend in particular, we played a game and it was another poor performance from me and he said, look, just go home for 3 or 4 days and get the head right and come back up. So I think that was refreshing that, you know, he was there for me during that time. And I found my feet in Galway then and I loved it. But I would say that first 3 or 4 months was a massive culture shock and just a struggle in terms of everything, really. Just I was so used to being at Tormenta and training in the sun and all that stuff. So it was it was definitely different coming home.
Were there moments when you were there, obviously it was kind of out of your control about coming back, but were there moments when you regretted coming back?
I think initially, yeah. I think initially there was, and I just think when you were there for so long, like you said, I didn't come back in and hit the ground running in terms of playing as well as I thought I could, or scoring as many goals as I thought I could, and I just thought, boy, I probably should have given America another year. But as time went on and got more comfortable at Galway, and then obviously the other League of Ireland clubs I've been at since. It's definitely not something I regret now, but initially it was tough coming home. But yeah, I think that's natural enough in terms of the. I just didn't. You expect a culture shock going over. You forget it's a thing coming back. But it did affect me a bit, I suppose.
When do you think it clicked for you coming back then?
I think probably 3/4 through that first season back at Galway, I got a proper run of games under my belt after a couple of injuries, and I did really start to play well. And then So there was the end of that first season where I was playing every week and playing well every week, and then there was the first chunk of the second season where I was playing well and playing every week, and then I got a bad ankle injury that I was out for a little over 3 months with, and I suppose then you're coming to the end of your second season at Galway, and I just never found a way back in, I suppose, consistently with Galway. There was the end of that season, obviously, I got back for and done well and scored a couple of goals in playoffs and stuff, but the following year then I just couldn't get into the team consistently in Galway, because to be fair, I was out of the team at the start of the season and they won the first 13 games in the league. So it's like you're knocking on the manager's door and asking him why you're not playing, but you nearly don't really believe it yourself, because you know, what can you say to someone when they're winning every single week? So I would say it clicked for me probably towards the end of my first season with Galway, and then I suppose it really clicked then when I went to Cove on loan and started to score goals, and then obviously I'm definitely playing the best football of my career since I signed for Wexford, which I've really felt at home and felt like you feel that extra responsibility and weight, I think, when you're playing for your home club, and that's something I do enjoy, that pressure I suppose I put on myself. I suppose I perform best under that, I think.
I suppose equally as well, when you were at Galway and at Cove, you know, if you're coming up against, I suppose, even Waterford at the time or Wexford, like, is there an extra element that you want to perform really well there because one is your former club and one is your hometown?
Yeah, I think so. I think the games are that little bit more special for sure. I always enjoyed playing against Wexford and Waterford, but with the trajectory that Wexford were on at the time, you know, when I first came back, it wasn't an option to come home to Wexford. You know, the club wasn't in a place that I suppose you wanted to play for. And then, you know, over the last 3 years since Tony got involved and since the new structure is in place, it's, I suppose, I always knew from that point that the likelihood is I'm going to play for Wexford sooner rather than later. So, you know, it's panned out that way in terms of the forward strides the club is making, and yeah, it's no coincidence that I think it's only going in one direction from this point forward.
You look at now being in Wexford, you know, you've really sort of you've set your place in the squad pretty much, and you know that time under James Keddie and then Stephen Elliott, like the progression for you when you saw that Stephen was coming in as the new manager after James, obviously, like that must have been massive for you considering his background as a top tier striker.
Yeah, and that, so when I didn't know Stephen before he came in, obviously I knew Stephen Elliott was the footballer, but I didn't know him personally, and so I met him up in Arklow around this time last year, and we spoke about you know signing back on, but I knew right away how genuine a person he was and how good a fella he is, and he's such a good person to work with, you know. I don't think it's a coincidence that I scored more goals this year. You know, I'm always picking his brains on little bits and pieces, movements in the box, different types of finishes, trying to improve my left foot all the time, you know, little pointers that he's given me. It's no coincidence that I've scored goals. So, it's great working with him. You know, he's a fountain of knowledge and I'm a sponge in that regard. I don't know if I annoy him with questions, but I'm always on to him, you know, about little bits and pieces. But I think I'll always be that way. And I think even as I approach my 30s, you know, there's so much for me to learn, and I think I can only get better and better. So working with someone like him it's only helped me so far, and it will continue to do so, no doubt.
Yeah, I think from over the season of at least speaking to him, obviously before matches and everything, like he does seem like, well, one, he's a very hands-on coach. And on top of that as well, the morale around the camp, regardless of results, always seems to be really high.
Yeah, look, he sets the example from the top up. You know, he's played at the very highest level. He's played in the Premier League. He's played for Ireland, which is what every young Irish footballer dreams of doing. Yet, he's the one picking up cones after training. He's the one putting footballs away. And it's like, those are such small things on the surface, but you know, he doesn't have to do that. But that's just the type of LA he is. He just absolutely loves it. Genuinely, I've never seen someone with his enthusiasm. You know, he absolutely loves it. And I said this at the, I had an interview the other day at the PFAI Awards, and they were asking me about Stephen Elliott, and I was just saying it's no surprise he got to the top as a player when you see what he's doing now in his, because he's ambitious, he wants to get the top as a manager as well, which I'm sure he will, but yeah, it's no surprise he got there. I think elite sports people that get to the very top, they have to be a bit mad in a good way. I think Stephen would be the first to tell you that he fits that bill.
You look at, you know, obviously it's a great achievement, I suppose, play for your hometown county and all that with regards to Wexford, but obviously equally more the big push now would be to win a major trophy with them. You look at last year, getting to the semi-final of that FAI Cup, like what was the actual feeling around the camp at that time for ye, I suppose, being in there, because it's the furthest you'd ever gotten that competition. You know, you're coming up against Drogheda, and you're like, it's not, I suppose, Shamrock Rovers, I suppose, like this year. Like, you know, you look at Drogheda and you think, you know, they're actually not doing great in the Premier Division. This is a very beatable side. You know, what is it like coming up to a game like that?
It was, I think, a bit of a strange feeling coming into it. Like, it was like, you know, if we can do this and I can get to the Aviva Wexford, like, not only would my... I felt at the time, not only would my career be complete, but my life would be complete. I'd be happy for life. Like, there's nothing that can upset me after this. So it was nearly like just staying level-headed. And, you know, we were so close to doing it. But, you know, it shows you that it is possible. You know, it's one of those... It would have been surreal, of course. But as you said, the challenge now is to win a major trophy. It's, you know... I definitely want to play in the Premier Division, of course. Like, the option was there this year, but it just made more sense to come back to Wexford. So now the challenge is to do it with Wexford, you know, and that would mean so much more. So it's brilliant to have that, to get out of bed every morning, that, you know, you're chasing this promotion now. And obviously I've got a longer term deal, so it's, you're not going year to year, you know, this is something I can really be a part of building. So, you know, that's the goal now for me, is to obviously win trophies, but getting back to the Premier with Wexford would be incredible. And whether the club is ready to do that this year or next year or the year after, you know, I think we're 100% on the right path. But Like I said in the piece the other day when the signing came out, like, when I spoke to the club, our ambitions aligned. And, you know, Stephen Elliott wouldn't be involved with the club if they weren't ambitious. And Kevin Doyle wouldn't be jumping on board with the club if they weren't ambitious as well. So the structure is in place. It's just about doing it the right way. And like you said, it would be a dream to get there with Wexford.
Offers come in from other clubs, obviously Premier Division clubs as well, and like, that's no surprise considering how you ended off the season. You know, were you tempted at all, I suppose, to go to a Premier Division club? Because realistically, I don't think anyone in Wexford would blame you for wanting to make the step up a division.
Yeah, of course, you listen to them, and look, it's been something I've wanted to do for the last number of years, is go play Premier Division football. And yeah, so offers come in, and then it's a reality. It's there in front of you. But I think you've got to give Wexford so much credit in how proactive they were and how inventive they were in little ways that we can make this project more enticing than going and playing the Premier. I think the easy thing for me would be to jump at playing the Premier. But as I said, you've got to give the club credit. You know, these talks... We started talking about a new contract last June when the mid-season break came along, and there was a couple of clubs sniffing around. So the fact that the club were so proactive in their approach, and you know, they made me want to stay. Like, it's easy for me to say, oh no, I didn't want to go to the Premier and I want to play for my hometown club, but at the end of the day, it has to be what's best for you. And fair play to Wexford, you know, they made sure this was the option best for me. And it, honestly, it was a no-brainer in the end. You know, they gave me that security in terms of a longer-term deal, and the fact I'm valued here as a piece of the puzzle on the pitch, but also someone that can, you know, also someone that can provide value to our younger players and be a little bit of a role model for the club going forward. You know, I really, really liked what they had to say and the project and the vision they put in place.
Coming to the end of, I suppose, last season, by all accounts, it was a successful season, probably not the way you would have wanted it to end it, obviously getting to that playoff spot, just missing out narrowly to Athlone Town, semi-finals of the FAI Cup. There's a real mass exodus of players from the Wexford team. What is that like for you, obviously, who's there for the next season, like looking at a lot of the people who you were on the pitch with, a majority of them having left?
Yeah, I suppose I was one of the first players to sign back last year. I remember Dobbsy was in the door, Robbie McCourt was in the door, and I was probably early enough, I suppose, in the off season. So that's a really good start to your recruitment. And then a lot of players did leave, but the squad we put together was more than enough to go and challenge, especially for a playoff place. And just for whatever reason, we just couldn't get going. I mean, it was like we can look back on the year and blame injuries, suspensions, all that came with it. But at the end of the day, there was more than enough games of football that we should have won. And I can't put a finger on it. Like, it was like you'd win one week and then you think you turn the corner and then something would happen and you'd lose the following week or drop points the following week. And we genuinely just couldn't get going. And over 36 games, over a league season, you finish exactly where you're meant to finish. So, you know, the league table doesn't lie. So I think it was really disappointing. We just, like I said, we couldn't get that level of consistency we needed. But and to be fair to the club, you know, with so many injuries early on in the season, they had a good summer window and brought in some really quality players. And even then it was like, then right, we'll push on. But as a group of players, we just couldn't figure it out in terms of putting 3, 4, 5 wins together. And in this league, you can get eaten up really quickly if you lose a game or two, and all of a sudden you've maybe not won in 4 or 5, and there's clubs leapfrogging you. So, it's a really tough league, really tough league. Tougher than it's much tougher to get out of than a lot of other leagues around the world, especially with one only automatically promoted.
Stephen being in the team, obviously sticking around for next season, like there's a good core team of players here. That being said, were you surprised when it was announced that James Caddy wasn't going to be remaining on as manager?
I wasn't sure, to be honest, whether James was going to come back. You know, as a player, you just play football. And then at the end of the season, I suppose in the league, Ireland, you're not sure whether players are going to stay, players are going to go, and it's the same with the manager. You know, so I was surprised to a degree, I suppose. You know, James brought me in, and in fairness, he was really good with me when I was here. So it was surprising, I suppose, a little bit. And then I think it was probably even more surprising when Stephen came in. You know, he wasn't really a name that I thought would be in for the job or that the club would go after. But the job the club done in appointing him was incredible. You know, it for someone that hadn't been a manager before. But I think, you know, once he sat down in front of the committee that were picking the manager, it quickly becomes evident who the number one target is or who their priority is in terms of giving the job to. So, you know, he's been so good since he came in, and it's nearly disappointing from a player's point of view that his first season of management, we couldn't do better for him. So I think obviously I'm back and other players will be back, but he's someone you want to run through a brick wall for. So you nearly want to put it right for him more than anything.
You look at, and obviously, you know, like all things with Wexford, it's always entertaining to the very end. You get down to the last game of the season against Treaty. What is it like for you, on the sidelines watching a match like that, knowing that you can have no influence on it?
Yeah, it was tough. Look, the red card was ridiculous, to be honest. When I'm looking back on it, it was a rush of blood to the head. It was so you have to live with that, you know. It's probably harder because you've nobody else to blame. Initially you try to blame the referee, but I put myself in that situation. So it was a really tough few days. I think not just because obviously I had got sent off and we had lost to UCD, which was a big game at that stage of the season, but it's known it's out of your hands now whether you play another game this season. So that was a really, really tough few days. And then, yeah, it was tough against Treaty, but look, it was disappointing not to get through to the playoffs, because obviously I would have been back for him. But yeah, that's one of those learning points in your career where, you know, you nearly, when everything is going so right and you're scoring goals every week, you nearly get that air of invincibility about you, and then just like that, in a split second, your footballing world is turned upside down, I suppose, and you're suspended, you're not playing in the biggest games of the season. So, you know, it's mad when you go through tough spells in your career and then just one game will click and you might score two or three and change everything. It's the very same when everything is going well. You know, you're only one stupid mistake or one injury away from everything turning upside down. So it's another learning point in my career, and that's the great thing about football. You know, it's, as I said at the start of the interview, it's the one thing I've learned in football is that things don't play out how you expect them to play out. So that's a learning point, and it's just made me hungrier and more eager to get back and play games now at the start of next season.
Obviously, we're in Campbell United, your original home, and you still come back here quite regularly. But talk to me a little bit about micro football development. Like, that's obviously something that you have a lot of passion behind, and you're putting a lot of your own personal resources into to try and promote football here as well, aren't you?
Yeah, so I've started up micro football development roughly about a year ago now. So it's summer camps, one-to-one trainings, group training sessions, and stuff along those lines. So it's actually the idea came along when I was in America. You know, I used to play, and one-to-one coaching is a huge thing over there. So it's something I wasn't sure if it would translate back here. I think it's been such a hit since it's taken off. You know, the one-to-one training is there's a huge market there for it in terms of players wanting to come along, and that, and obviously having that little bit of a profile as a League of Ireland player, it helps. You know, people want high level training, so it's just about, you know, I really enjoy the one-to-one stuff because you can see the players develop over 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks. So yeah, so I really enjoy the coaching side of things. It's definitely something I want to go into properly when I finish playing. I would like to dip my toe into that region properly, but yeah, it's something that, you know, the American players, they're very hardworking. I suppose it's the American dream in a way, that you work hard and you can become whatever you want. But you know, the individual training side of things has really taken off here, and yeah, as I said, I enjoy it. You know, you're still doing something you love. But you can genuinely see an improvement in the kids, and more so than anything, I make it as enjoyable as I can. You know, the when I get a text from the parents, you know, saying that their kid is dying to come back for another session, or you know, they really enjoyed it, that's the main thing for me. You know, is it doesn't matter. You can improve a kid as a player as much as you want, but if they're not enjoying it, they're never going to have a career in football, because they're going to be sick of it by the time they're 15, 16. So that for me is just creating positive relationships with kids, between kids and the game of football is the most important thing for me. And yeah, I suppose that's the main goal in terms of giving back.
You mentioned obviously that coaching is something you want to get into after your career. Presumably you're going to be playing for years to come, yeah. Anyways. And, you know, being at obviously, I suppose, the PFAI award so recently, you obviously see the likes of Pádraig Amann there, who's well into his late 30s now, and he's still perform at the highest level in Ireland. You know, is that someone you look to as a blueprint for longevity in this league?
Yeah, well, what Paul Gammon has done since he came to Waterford, I suppose has he missed 90 minutes of football? Like, I'm genuinely not sure. Like, he's played, so you look at his numbers and he plays 90 minutes week in, week out, and that is something I would love to aspire to. You know, I genuinely do want to play until I can't anymore. I think whenever a manager tells me that I'm not fit to play, or nobody wants to give me a contract, is probably when I'll stop playing. So I do want to play for as long as I want. You know, you look at career achievements and major trophies and stuff, but I think playing into your late 30s, especially in Ireland, which you don't see too often, is definitely something I'd love to do. So, you know, I feel I'm only getting better and better now. But it's about doing things right early, which I felt I have to this point. But also, you know, you start to think about things now in terms of how do you, you know, when you're 29, 30, what do you do now that's going to benefit you in 5-6 years? You know, it's too late to think about when you're 36 and you're trying to get another couple of seasons. It's what you do now and how you act every day now as a professional. So yeah, that it's definitely, he's definitely a blueprint in terms of what he's still doing. So yeah, just going to look to get better and better each year and see how long I can go for.
What is it like, I suppose there's never really a point in your career where you think, I'm now a senior player at a club. Like, but for you, and I suppose even Aaron Dobbs as well, like, the two of you are kind of seen as the senior players of Wexford.
Yeah, I think I was actually the oldest player at Wexford this past season at 29, which, you know, is such a different dynamic to, let's say, when I was at Galway, I would have been 25, 26, but I would have been banging that middle pack of players where you had the younger players, 19, 20, 21, 22, and then you had lads in and around 25, my age, and then you had the senior group, which was the 32, 33-year-olds, and there's a clear, I suppose, pretty much like every club, there's a clear, I suppose, outlook on the squad in terms of the young players, the middle-aged lads, and then the older lads. And at Wexford, it was more like you had nearly have middle-aged lads and then loads of young lads, and that top group is missing. So I suppose really when I got to Wexford, or even when I got to Cove, I suppose I was a little bit of a more of a senior player. So I think from that point on, and definitely at Wexford, you know, but I like that responsibility. I like trying to help out the younger players as much as I can. I like, even it's not necessarily about, you know, shouting and roaring and giving instructions or orders, you know. You just want to earn the respect of other lads by doing the right things day in, day out, by training properly, by doing, setting an example, I suppose, more than anything. And but yeah, look, the younger players have been great at Wexford, you know, they are always looking to improve, and it's just about setting standards that are professional, because, you know, Wexford has so much potential as a club, and it's important that, you know, we view ourselves as a group of professional players now, which will only bring the team forward, number one, and the club forward as a result of that.
Do the younger players treat you differently because of obviously your playing experience?
I wouldn't say they treat you differently. It's just been really good to see the younger players, how receptive they are to feedback. When I see something, I'll tell them, and I'll never tell them what to do. I'll try help them as much as I possibly can, and they're all ears, to be honest. You know, you say something to a young lad, and it's because I want them to get better, and it may be something that I seen in my earlier days, or an experience that I dealt with poorly that I can maybe help them with. But you know, they just want to be helped, which is great, for the most part. And yeah, I wouldn't say they treat me differently. Like, it's you have really good relationships with them all as teammates, but as well, you can provide them that little bit of guidance. And to be fair, there's nothing but but respect from me to them, and nothing but respect from them to me. So it is nice to be able to help and look, they, because, you know, young lads come into a first team environment and it's completely different. It's everything is different. So it's just about helping them get from A to B in terms of their potential that little bit quicker. And just giving them, showing them the ropes and letting them understand first team football and senior football that little bit quicker, I suppose.
Is there a part of you that, I suppose, it looks at the Wexford setup at the moment and the amount of young players there, that the project going forward is obviously the new stadium, and on top of that then getting promoted to the Premier Division. Like, this is the legacy. You're kind of working to build that at the moment. Do you almost feel like you're in that sort of, like, obviously you want to play for years to come, but do you feel like you're a part of almost the backroom staff as much as you are on the pitch as well, kind of that sort of middle ground, because you obviously are so connected to the club off the pitch as well?
In a way, yeah. I suppose, do I see myself as part of the project going forward? Is the answer is yes, you know, and it goes back to the question of moving to other clubs or other options. But I'm a hometown lad here. There's a project there that you can genuinely be a part of as a player, and obviously, and just genuinely helping as much as you can in other areas, because, you know, I want Wexford FC, I would love Wexford FC to be the best League of Ireland club in the country, and whether that's going to happen or not is another question, but those are the standards and the levels you have to aspire to. So that's I suppose something for me, is you definitely do see yourself part of the bigger picture, which as you said, you might not get at other clubs. You know, you're just a number, and you go to another club for a year and what happens then? Like, you know, it might not make sense to a lot of people, but it's definitely the project and the vision I want to be a part of. And as I said, like, that's not down to me, that's down to what's going on in the club and the work that's already been done, but the work that's in place to move forward. And I do think the club is in a better place now than it's ever been before. There's huge potential there, and it's actually a word I don't like in football, is potential, but, you know, there's massive potential there for the club to go do something really special, which I think this county deserves. You know, it's one of the biggest football counties in the country, and I just think it's a case now of everybody coming together in terms of all the football people in Wexford, making this a really good project, because it'll benefit everyone. It'll benefit the junior clubs, it'll benefit the Wexford Football League, it'll benefit the Schoolboys League, Schoolgirls League, everything. It's simple that just this whole county has to be united in pushing this forward. And obviously with the stadium that's going to come in over the next while, it's only going to be good for the county as well.
Finally, because I know I've kept you a load of time, I do want to end by asking, is there one point, I suppose, throughout your career or even in your early development, even a piece of advice that you would look back on as being the defining moment that got you to where you are today?
It's so hard to narrow it down to one, but I think just I'll go back to the backing I received from my family throughout. And so when I first went to America, so we actually went to Spain for pre-season for 10 days. So that was my first interaction with the squad. And so we went to America, or we went to Spain, sorry. And I was so homesick, I absolutely hated it. So the way my flights worked, I actually came from Spain back to Dublin. So obviously came home for a night, and then I was flying to Atlanta the next day. And there was no way I was getting on that plane. Like, I came home, I was hell-bent on staying at home. I was going to give up football, get a job. I didn't care. It's just I didn't want to feel like that again in terms of being that homesick. And I just wanted to be at home, to be honest. So I remember chatting with my dad, and he said, look, just go for a week, and we'll bring you home next week if you want to. Like, it's no issue. Just go try it. And it was that, I suppose, that backing of they always believed that I could be a footballer, or just getting that support from my family, which I did from an early age. Obviously, right up until now, like, you know, they're at every single game. My parents, grandparents, aunties, uncles, cousins, my girlfriend, they're at every game, which is so good for me. And So I think just that moment is one that always sticks out to me. I remember it. I was just like, please don't make me go. It wasn't like they made me go, but it was like, look, we believe in you to go and do it. And if it doesn't work, we'll be here for you and we'll support you. So I think that was probably the moment that it all changed for me in terms of, had they just let me stay at home, I don't think I would have had a football career at all. So it was like that, you know, the support and advice was great from an early age. And it was, yeah, a turning point, because had I went and got a job then, you know, I never would have played football. And then I go to college over there, and then, as I said before, like, you're getting paid to play football. And little moments, it's funny how little things, split decisions, can change your life. So I'd probably touch on that moment more than anything.
I'm sure everyone at Wexford FC is delighted you got on that play in the end.
Yeah, because I actually don't know what I would be doing. You know, it's I wasn't exactly massive into education either at the time, and I probably only got my degree because I wanted to play football in America. So yeah, it's actually funny looking back on it and how different things could have been. But I'm delighted to be where I'm at the minute.
Absolutely. Well, Mikey Rowe, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Cheers, Orn. Thank you.